he was over maybe about 19 when he was in the Galveston area working on railroads. He had a lot of Chinese labor, you know, and cheap labor. And he worked there, and he married into a very prominent family while there. And she went on down to Mexico with him, and they had two little girls. And then in 1882, there were three brothers, and two of his brothers, they parted in Monterey, and one of them he never heard from again. The other one did live in California. And so he came into this area through Roma and Mir, and one little girl died with diphtheria in Mir, and they buried her in Roma. And he came in with $15 in his pocket. And he got into Rio Grande City, and he managed to get the stagecoach route from Rio Grande to Peña, which is Heavenville now. And when they gave it to him from Rio Grande City to Brownsville, that's when he moved to Hidalgo in 1884, because he was midway. And then he immediately got into politics, and he was deputy sheriff. They never had had it law and order until he took over. And he had some relatives that fought him. Members of the family, my great uncle's sons, were lawyers, had been educated in New York, and they were Republicans. Of course, he was a Democrat. They made it kind of hard for him, but my uncle had lived, the great uncle, he would have been really disgraced with his boys because they did so many things that were, well, they plotted with a renegade to kill all the officers, you know. I don't know whether Ms. told you that or not. The Cosseres gang, you know. And Pancho Garza was the man that they laid for, and threw his mistress in Hidalgo. Mr. Colliner offered her $50. She'd let him know when he showed up. And so one of the tagglers, one of his deputies, caught him and killed him. Now, Mr. never killed a person himself, which is quite different from a later sheriff we had. Bore down on the cattle rustling and all these incorrigible people, but he did it through the process of his deputies, you know, and they were afraid of him, and he really did get it straightened out. My father never walked out. He was about the seventh or eighth Anglo man in the area, and he never walked out of the house without a pistol on him for a long time. And he started buying up land down in that San Juan, around the ranch, you know. Now, Nathaniel is interesting, the ranch. Nathaniel was a Cherokee Indian who married an Oklahoma woman who was also a Cherokee Indian. And in 1858, he arrived down here in a covered wagon and smuggled out 11 slaves from Alabama. See, the Civil War hadn't started yet. He smuggled out those slaves and established a ranch down there. And a little church right away. It's the first Protestant church in the county, and acquired a little acreage for a graveyard. It's still there. And this Maynard Jackson is his granddaughter, you see. And he was very, very interesting. He was a lay preacher, and of course he had these Negro slaves with him, you know. And he had a bunch of sons, and only one son, her father, Martin, was the only one that didn't get involved with the Negroes. But there are a lot of people that did, and you run into Rutledge family, the Singleton family, and the Box family, and a Bowie family, and they're part Negro, you see. They got mixed up with all the others. But Martin and her father married just a good Spanish woman, you see. And Maynard is white as I am, gray-headed and everything. But there were some throwbacks in there when they got mixed up with the slaves, and I remember one big black Negro, they called him Polo, and he's the one that sprung the trap when the only man that was hanged was hung here at the jail, you see.